Could an exit strategy be in the works?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke heads to Capitol Hill this morning. He's going to remind lawmakers the Fed has bought trillions of dollars worth of mortgages to keep financial markets from collapsing. Now Mr. Bernanke has to tell them how he plans to sell without tanking said markets. From Washington, Brett Neely has more.
Next week, the Fed plans to stop buying mortgages in the first step of its exit plan. Step two, sell those mortgages it's been buying up until now. Ken Kuttner teaches at Williams College. He says Bernanke's predicament is a lot like Goldilocks eating the bear's porridge. If he begins selling too quickly,
you'll see interest rates, mortgage rates spiking up, and nobody will like that.
But if the Fed doesn't get the pacing just right and instead sells them too slowly,
then they run the risk of keeping too much liquidity in the system and perhaps leading to inflation down the road.
Lawmakers will also hear from some of Bernanke's academic critics today. The professors will say the Fed needs clearer benchmarks about what it's going to do so that the markets don't get spooked. Others worry the Fed might pay more attention to inflation than unemployment. If the Fed raises interest rates too quickly, hiring could tank. That's an exit strategy no one wants. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
The White House is fresh off its sprint toward a health care overhaul. Now it's prepping for another congressional marathon, financial regulations. A couple of Democrats, Senate Banking Committee Chair Christopher Dodd and House Financial Services Committee Chair Barney Frank, met with President Obama yesterday. They're leading the effort to pass the bank reforms in Congress. But is there enough momentum? Is there enough will? Matthew Bishop is U.S. business editor for The Economist and co-author of The Road from Ruin. Welcome to the program.
Great to be with you.
What kind of reforms do we need to ensure recovery?
We're not going to recover from this crisis unless we get real leadership and real policy change. And my worry is at the moment that Congress has shown itself to be incapable of actually taking the big picture view of reform. And Wall Street has resisted any serious attempt to change how it does business. So my fear is that we just end up back where we started with a very vulnerable financial system.
If you look at the stock market right now in this country, it's looking a lot better than it was, say, a year and a half ago. What's the reality there with what's happening in the economy?
The economy is still stuck, I think, in the emergency ward, and there's no real policies out there to get it back on its feet again. And so my worry is that the government policy of pumping up the economy can only last so long and is already showing signs of running out. So what happens next?
What do you think the United States can learn from other economies around the world?
Well, I think America can learn a lot from looking at Japan in the 1990s, where policymakers and business leaders together refused to acknowledge that they had to change. I think America is different in some ways, but I think there's a real chance that we just don't get back on the path of growth because the politicians and the business leaders don't take the hard decisions necessary. I mean, I think the world actually wants America to get back to the things it does best, which is to be innovative and productive, because actually the rest of the world for 25 years has been looking to America for leadership, and the sooner it does get back on its feet, the better.
Matthew Bishop is U.S. business editor and New York bureau chief for The Economist magazine. He co-authored the book, The Road from Ruin. Mr. Bishop, thank you.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
Let's do the numbers. Shares in Europe are higher right now, about 0.5% to 1%. That's despite European debt keeping investors elsewhere cool to buying. In Asia, markets closed mostly mixed. The Hang Seng dropped by 1%. Wall Street yesterday, shares fell more than 0.5%. The Dow was off 52 points to close at 10,836. This morning, Verizon rolled out a new application for its Android and BlackBerry smartphones. The nation's biggest wireless carrier will allow subscribers to make calls using Skype, the voice-over internet service. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
If you have Skype Mobile and the person you call in, say, Israel or Brazil does too, the call is free. That's because it's traveling along Verizon's data network, just like any other internet connection. The companies are pitching this hard in a new YouTube video.
You can make unlimited calls to other people on Skype, and they won't use up your plan minutes or incur data charges. Talk as long as you want.
Maggie Reardon of the technology news site CNET was at the Vegas trade show where the app was unveiled. She says unlike when you use Skype on a computer or iPhone, with Verizon, it'll always be on.
They don't even have to be logged into the application. They can just pick up the call. And that's pretty cool.
It wasn't that long ago that Verizon was dead set against this idea.
Christopher Collins tracks consumer technology at the Yankee Group. He says the wireless industry has mostly tried to block us from making internet calls on cell phones. That's so we'll have to pay for all those minutes.
Why this is not necessarily Verizon eating its own lunch, as some might have said, is it's just an acknowledgement of the fact that wireless is increasingly becoming all about data. And the traditional way of thinking about, well, I'll buy a plan that gives me so many voice minutes, that's just becoming increasingly irrelevant.
What is driving revenue? Expensive smartphones and high-end data plans to match, both of which you'll need to reach Skype's 500 million users worldwide. One thing you won't get on a Skype mobile app, by the way, video calling. Think about it. Those cell phone cameras all point the wrong way. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, the British government's been tackling a more targeted version of healthcare reform, a redesign of hospital gowns by next year. They're being called dignity gowns. It's an effort to make the sick feel more confident about their appearance. A couple of designers have produced some promising concepts. One of them has a pouch for a cell phone, presumably for patients to complain about the food. Another, thankfully, eliminates the embarrassing open back. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.